I want to read some verses this evening from the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32. And we'll read the first 7 verses. Psalm 32, reading verses 1 to 7. The psalmist says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones became old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Let's bow together in a moment of prayer. We've been listening to these words of song this evening. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Father, we thank you for the coming of your Son. We thank you that he came into the world to seek and to save those that were lost. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But we rejoice, our Father, this evening, that to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. And Father, we pray that here in this evening gospel service, we pray that someone, for the very first time, might place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Speak to us through the message of the gospel, and make this evening an evening of blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. One of the most stimulating stories to come from World War II was Corrie ten Boom's book entitled The Hiding Place. In that book, she related her experiences of torture by the Germans when they came into Holland. If any of you have read that book or know of Corrie ten Boom, you will know that the Ten Boom family had provided a little hiding place in their home, and there they hid many Jewish people in that hiding place from the authorities. Eventually the Germans discovered the hiding place, and Corrie ten Boom spent many years in prison in concentration camps. During her persecution, during her danger and troubles, she found great comfort and solace in the presence and in the power of God. And in a very real way, the Lord became to her what she and her family had become to those Jewish people, a hiding place. The Lord became a hiding place for her. Our text this evening is that first little phrase in verse 7, where the psalmist says, "Thou art my hiding place." Read through the Psalms, and many of the writers of the Psalms referred to the Lord, referred to Jehovah, as being a place of shelter, or a hiding place, or a refuge. In various Psalms, David testified to the fact that God was his hiding place. Various situations and circumstances in the life of David prompted him to make this affirmation, this confident declaration, that God was his place of refuge, that God was his hiding place. Perhaps David, like many of us, had been taught by his parents that God, the eternal God, is a safe and trusted hiding place. David found strength in God when he came face to face with the giant Goliath, and he conquered him. When he had to flee from the jealous rage of Saul, again he found refuge in God. When he led the nations, when he led the armies into battle, into war, he knew the Lord to be with him and to be his hiding place. Again and again throughout his life, we see him running to God, seeking a place of refuge. And we, like David, we too need a hiding place. David's life demonstrated a definite need for such a place. While many good and positive things can be said about David, he was rich, he was strong, he was powerful, he was famous, he was a man after God's own heart. Yet it is true, as we read the Psalms and as we read the Old Testament books, we can see that David's life could be charted with ups and downs. It was a mixture of good and evil, of sunlight and of shadows. There were the times of rejoicing, but there were also the times of sorrow and mourning. David found that for the diversified experiences of life, he needed a place of refuge. We too need a hiding place. In the various circumstances and different situations in life into which we are brought, life brings with it sunshine and shadows. Life brings with it triumphs and troubles. And in such situations, how wonderful it is to have a hiding place and to know the Lord as our refuge and our strength. I can look back over the years when I was in the pastorate, how I had to visit homes where tragedy had hit, where a loved one had been taken. And in my present job as a funeral director, I'm brought into the same situations. And how oftentimes people have said to me, those who were believers, I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had the Lord as my refuge and as my strength. And there are some of us here who have had bitter experiences in life. Oh, perhaps experiences that now we can thank God for. But at the time, How wonderful it was to have the Lord and to be able to go to Him for refuge and for strength. To know that He was our safe tower. To know that He was our hiding place. Yes, sorrow and sadness teach us the need of having a hiding place. During times of grief, we certainly need such a place. David lost his son Absalom, whom he loved dearly, in very tragic circumstances. Yes, in more ways than one. But during that time of stress and of strain, he went to God, and in Him he found a place of rest. When we think of the world in which we live, with all its potential for war and destruction, surely we live in constant reminder that nuclear weapons could be used for a global war. From time to time we read of people on the mainland who have, because of the fear of such a thing, they have built fallout shelters so that they will have a hiding place from nuclear fallout. Yes, in this age, with its potential for trouble and trials, we recognize the dangers that we face, and many are fearful. But it's wonderful to know that God can be our hiding place, our refuge. Not only during personal trouble, but during the threatening dangers of life. But above all and beyond that, sin and temptation remind us that we need such a hiding place. When David was confronted with the reality of his sin, he ran to a hiding place with God. And he said, "Thou art my hiding place." You see, most biblical scholars believe that Psalm 32, where we find our text this evening, is the sequel to Psalm 51. A psalm in which David confesses his sin before God. The background which led to this experience of God and with God is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. There we have recorded for us a sordid experience in the life of David. He was guilty of stealing another man's wife. Then he was guilty of murdering that same man. He sought to cover up his sin, but when his own conniving didn't materialize, the truth hit home. Now conscious of his sin, bowed down beneath a load of guilt and of care, he flees to the Lord. He acknowledges his sin before God in Psalm 51, his need of forgiveness. And here in Psalm 32, he speaks of finding a hiding place in God. You see, David had sinned. And he was aware that judgment inevitably follows sin. He was judged by his own conscience. He knew what he had done was wrong. He was judged by the word of God, by the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not commit adultery, rather. And also by the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And aware of his sin, and aware of coming judgment, he sought a place of refuge in Jehovah. And friends, this evening, because all of us are sinners by nature, that's what God's Word says. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God because all of us are sinners. Therefore, we need a place of refuge. We need a place of shelter, a hiding place. Because, you see, not only are we all sinners, but sin must be judged. And God won't do with sin as we do, sweep it under the carpet and forget about it. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. James says in his little book that lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wise preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." You see, the Bible not only reminds us of sin, but it reminds us of judgment. And how thankful we should be that the Bible doesn't stop with such a message. A message of sin, a message of coming judgment. But that same Bible underlines that we can know forgiveness, that we can find a hiding place in Jesus Christ. Yes, all of us need a hiding place, and all of us can have such a hiding place. David identified his hiding place. Oh, it wasn't his royal standing. It wasn't his great knowledge, or his wealth, or his friend. Here in Psalm 32, he identifies his hiding place. He says, "Thou art." He identified God as his safe shelter. "Thou art my hiding place." Or again in another Psalm, I think it's Psalm 61, he says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." David found that the Lord was a trustworthy hiding place, and that he was adequate for whatever life might bring. Corrie ten Boom, whom we mentioned by way of introduction, found God as a hiding place in time of trial and persecution. And how many others have found in Christ a hiding place from sin and from judgment, a hiding place from an accusing conscience. I can remember sitting in gospel meetings as a lad, God dealing with me as I listened to the gospel, and I felt exposed. But you know, one night, as a young lad in his teens, I came to trust in Jesus. And I found in him a refuge for my soul. I found in him a hiding place. That truth that Christ can be a hiding place was very precious to Augustus Toplady, whose hymn we've been singing this evening. Toplady was an Anglican minister. One day, making his way across the English moors, returning from visiting some of his parishioners, he took shelter in an alcove in a large rock from a blizzard, from a storm. As he sheltered from the storm, he appreciated that ready hiding place. But as a believer in Christ, It moved him to consider the storms of judgment that were yet to come, and the safe and abiding shelter that he had found in Christ. And some thoughts came to his mind, and picking up an old cigarette packet that lay there, he jotted down some words, and then going home to his study, he wrote that lovely hymn that we love to sing. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I wonder, friend, tonight, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you hiding in him? Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. I wonder, can you say those words this evening? Oh, I know that so many in this service, recognizing the seriousness of their sin, recognizing the awful consequences of continuing in sin, have in the words of the writer to the Hebrews, they have fled for refuge, fled to the Lord Jesus Christ, and found refuge in him, because he alone is our refuge. What was it we were singing in our opening hymn? Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Yes, so many of us realized that Christ was our only hope, our only place of refuge, that only in him can we be safe? Yes, we were singing again, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life is past, safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Tell me, are you hiding in Christ, sheltering in him? Have you found in him your place of refuge? As I looked at that phrase in Hebrews, fled for refuge, I thought of the provision that was made for the Israelites of old, back in the Old Testament under the old economy. There we read of six cities of refuge, three on either side of the Jordan, that had been provided as places of asylum for those who had accidentally committed manslaughter, to aid the killer in escaping from the one who sought to avenge the killing. The principal roads leading to the cities were kept open. The cities were always accessible. And I'm told that no part of the Palestine was more than 30 miles from a city of refuge. So that there was a place of refuge within the reach of all. Under the Old Testament situation, these cities were necessary, because if a man was slain, it was regarded the duty of his nearest relative to avenge him. Only in that way could justice be satisfied. But you know, in those days, almost no distinction was made between intentional and unintentional killing. Many a man was therefore killed in revenge for that which was an accident. So these cities were provided to protect a man until his case could be heard and tried. And if he made his way to one of those cities, once inside the gate of the city, he was safe. The Lord Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. We can flee to him knowing that the way is open, knowing that he is accessible, knowing that in him we will be eternally safe.
Yes, the city of refuge of old was the only place where the guilty person, or where the suspected person, the person who had killed a man, was safe. Within the city, he knew that none could touch him. And friends, this evening, it's only in Christ, and in Christ alone, that we are safe. Oh, what a blessed assurance we have. We who have fled to Christ, we know that we are safe. Safe in Christ. Saved for eternity. As the old brethren hymn says, safe in the Lord without a doubt, by virtue of the blood. Friend, tonight have you found that hiding place? Have you fled to the rock of ages that was cleft for you? Psalm 61 that I referred to earlier, the psalmist says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a refuge for me. This figure of speech that the psalmist used, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It is an acknowledgement. It was an acknowledgement that he needed someone greater than himself, someone stronger than himself. And so too do you. You need the Lord Jesus, the one who is mighty to save, because you can never save yourself. By your own efforts, you can never be sheltered from judgment. Your only hope is in Jesus. And how wonderful it is to know that you can have that hiding place. And you can enjoy the benefits of having such a hiding place. You've only got to read through the Psalms of David to consider and to discover that the secret of his life was his relationship with the Lord. You will find him again and again in the Psalms speaking about God being the strength of his life, the guide of his life, of God being his close and constant companion. And for those of us who have fled to Christ and trusted him as our eternal resting place, we enjoy the blessed assurance of his presence day by day. We know that he is with us throughout the pilgrimage of life, in every circumstance. Life for the Christian, life for the believer is not always easy, but we know that we have the Lord with us. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And what a comfort this is in every situation of life. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What an assurance. Of course, God doesn't isolate us against trouble or insulate us against trouble. Oh, no. But he does protect us during trouble, in the midst of trouble. And one day he will save us from all our troubles. He will save us from the very presence of sin itself. Time is gone. But let me ask you again, have you found this shelter? Are you prepared for the storms of life? Yes, more. Are you prepared for the storms of judgment? Perhaps just now you're enjoying life. Perhaps just now everything is going your way and you feel that you don't need a hiding place. You feel no need to flee to the Lord Jesus for refuge, for shelter. The day is coming. The day is coming when judgment will come. And it will be then that you'll feel your need of shelter, a place of refuge, a hiding place. But it will then be too late. Let me read you some words in closing from the book of the Revelation. The chapter is 6. The scene is one of judgment. And there we read, "And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Yes, here we have a verse speaking of a day to come when men will seek a hiding place. But it will be then too late. Friend, tonight, you can have a hiding place. I remember many years ago, it was way back in the early days of television. We didn't have one, but I used to go to a house where they had. And I can remember a program then, way back all those years ago, and it was called No Hiding Place. Telling of fugitives, those who had committed crimes and they'd fled the law. And they'd escaped the law for years. But eventually, the law caught up with them. The program title was No Hiding Place. Friend, tonight, you can have a hiding place. You can have a place of refuge in the person of Christ. That's why he died upon the cross, that you might find refuge, that you might find safety, that you might find salvation. Many years ago, when I was at home around the Ballymena area, I used to travel 2 or 3 days a week to the town of Larne. If you've traveled between Larne and Ballymena, you know that famous hill called Shane's Hill. And as you come up that hill, it's a barren part of the country. But looking to your right, or it used to be, I haven't been on the road for years, but there used to be trees growing right up on the top of the hill. And they were growing in the shape of a cross. And I used to wonder why those trees had been planted in such a manner. Until one day, talking to someone who came from that area, they said to me, "Those trees have been planted there as a place of refuge for the cattle grazing on the hill. And they've been planted in the shape of a cross, because no matter what way the storm is blowing, they can always find shelter." And you know, as they told me that, I thought of the Savior, the one who on the cross of Calvary died for us, that no matter what may come, no matter how deep or how great our sin might be, that if we come to him acknowledging that sin and acknowledging that we're exposed to his wrath and judgment, confessing our sin, we can find shelter at the cross. Friend, tonight, that's the message of the gospel, that there is a place of refuge, that there is shelter, that there is salvation to be found in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that there upon the cross, that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We thank you that there on the cross, our blessed Lord was exposed to the wrath and judgment of a holy God because of our sin, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be pardoned, so that we might go free. Father, we pray that you will help some in this service, help those in this service who have never found forgiveness, salvation, to come to the Savior this evening and to experience his forgiveness. And as a result of being forgiven, to know the joy